You call the president an Indonesian Muslim turned welfare thug and a racist in chief. I mean, yeah. Is that the kind of...
That's the way he's behaving.
But in Obama's America, the white kids now get beat up with the black kids cheering, yay, right on, right on, right on, right on.
If you are a religious person, you don't want someone telling your child that it's okay to be gay. It's as simple right. as that.
I'm gay and I don't molest any children. What do you think?
Well, I say you're lying.
Do right. you pray that, you pray that I'll die tonight?
If you're a homosexual, I hope you get brain cancer.
You know, it took me about a year to start hating the 9/11 victims' families. It took me about a year.
I like turtles.
And hello and welcome to another live episode of Amran's podcast. It is Friday in New Zealand, and a rainy gray Friday at that. And joining me so far is Stephen in Wisconsin. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
And Lurie Dean. How are you, Lurie?
Pretty good, thanks.
That's good. Now, if anybody wants to join us in the on the show, you're more than welcome to do so. You have to log into Skype, and my username is Amarins, if you don't already have it. Just send me a message, and I will add you to the conversation. Now, the... Last week, as everyone knows, I didn't do a live show, and one of the main reasons for that is that we were taking care of our young nieces, because it's the school holidays between, well, school holidays. And it got me to thinking about the whole idea of family in general, and I'd actually like to talk a little bit about that this week, at least to start out with it and just sort of see how it goes. I always used to say when I was younger that the families that we make, our families by choice, if you will, are in some ways more important to GLBT people than the families that we're related to by blood, which isn't true for everybody, obviously. But what I'm wondering is if there really is, in this modern age, still that kind of distinction between the families we create and the families we're born into. I mean, for instance, in our case, the people we hang around with the most probably are family. And I know that's true for others. And yet, of course, we all know people who are completely estranged from their families and never see them. So why don't we just start a little bit with that? And Lurie, why don't we start with you? What do you think? Do you think that there is still this distinction between the families we're born into and the families that we create?
Well, I definitely would agree with people of our generation and older that it was much more frequent that people were estranged from their families and so tended to make their own. But the one thing that I've observed, you know, in nearly 30 years of adulthood is that, you know, just as time passes, families have become more accepting. Not 100%, of course, but it's much more common to encounter people who don't have families that have rejected them because of being GLBT or questioning or or whatever.
Yeah, there was an article in the New York Times magazine, I think it was, a couple of weeks ago, I guess, and they were talking about GLBT. Well, actually, they were not even teens. They were sort of, well, they were teens, but I mean, they weren't high school age necessarily, in some cases, middle school, and coming out at that age. And somebody had made the observation that what's different between the generation that's coming up now and, say, us older folk is that nowadays kids are often getting dating advice from their parents. You know, gay kids are getting dating advice from their parents, whereas in our era, the idea of that is just unimaginable.
Completely unheard of.
Well, as a younger than us person, Stephen, what do you think about that? Do you think that that the distinction is beginning to go away?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm very close with my family. They didn't reject me, and I never worried about that. So I know I'm not typical of everyone, but I don't know.
Well, you've also said in the past, I seem to recall, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've said that in the future you'd quite like to have kids. Is that right?
I would very much like to.
And how do you think that's different from, say, previous generations, in your opinion? I mean, obviously, you don't know everybody, but would you say that your generation is more likely to take for granted that they can have kids?
Probably. I do hear from a lot of older gay people that they previously had not thought about ever having kids. They didn't think it would be possible. And now that it is, they've kind of go, well, I'm too old. And
yeah, I relate. Yeah. Larry, did you ever want kids?
There was a time in my life where I considered it, but mostly it was circumstantial that I didn't pursue adoption. Anyway, that would have been how I would have wanted to have had children, was through adoption.
Hmm.
But by the time that was a realistic option, you know, just at my, I wouldn't say at my advanced age, but but it got to a point where I didn't want to do that later in life, and, you know, be still raising a teenager by the time I was 65. So
yeah.
So anyway, it's,
yeah, that was one of my concerns too.
Yeah, I definitely have lived vicariously with my niece and nephew, so I pay very close attention to them, and
yeah,
and
well,
trying to be the favorite uncle,
which isn't that hard, really. Just bribe them, and they love you forever. Yeah, I've often heard it said that being an aunt or an uncle is actually better than being a parent, because you get to spoil them, and you get to get them. They're grateful because you're spoiling them, and then when it's all over, you get to hand them back to the parents to deal with their spoiled behavior. But it isn't the same, obviously. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think that I would say it's probably safe to say that the older generations, and I'm not exactly sure where that dividing line is, a lot of us probably just assumed that having kids was impossible, because we grew up with really pretty homophobic laws across the board. But certainly there wasn't, in many places, there wasn't exactly the official intention to allow gay couples to adopt. And getting it through any other means, short of the traditional way, is quite problematic.
Not too long ago, even single parent adoption would have been frowned upon, at least in the States.
Yeah.
So it just wasn't readily available, certainly not for gay or lesbian couples, but also not really available for, individual gay males or lesbians to actually adopt on their own, sort of hiding the family aspect of it. But
yeah, and of course, in recent years, there's been a push, and I think it's related to the same-sex marriage debate, to try to prevent gay people from adopting children. We've seen in Iowa. Right. Obviously Florida. In Florida, and there's always talk about other places as well. And, of course, Iowa's situation was a bit unique, and when they were trying to restrict adoption only to people, heterosexuals who were married to each other, where, you know, that would, it would mean, for example, if you had a brother and sister who had children, and they died, and you were the only living relative, but you were a gay person, or even a single person for that matter, you wouldn't be able to adopt those children. They'd have to go, become wards of the state and be adopted out to strangers, which is just nuts. Right. I mean, how much do you have to hate gay people to do that?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, it has been on my mind a bit lately as well, I suppose, because about 2 or 3, must be 3 weeks anyway ago, President Obama issued a proclamation for Parents Day, where he specifically mentioned same-sex parents, well, GLBT parents, whatever it was, and which is something that I certainly couldn't imagine Bush ever doing. In fact, we know he wouldn't have done that. And there's also the dismissal of the case in Florida of the woman from Washington State who she and her partner had gone to get on one of, I think it was one of, what's her name? Rosie's Cruises, I think it was.
Yes.
And she had, I think it was a brain aneurysm and collapsed, and she was dying in the hospital, and the hospital authorities wouldn't let her visit her dying partner. And I believe she finally did, as I recall. But anyway, she sued because she alleged they were mistreated, and she alleged the social worker said, "This, you're in an anti-gay state now," which the social worker denies having said now. But anyway, the situation, the thing about that case that got me was that that was a situation where there was clearly a family that it, that they'd created together, you know, the two people and their children. And the state was, even at that late stage, you know, when you're facing end of life, they were saying, no, you're not real. You're not a real family.
Right.
So I suppose that's kind of why this has been on my mind, that and the fact that we were looking after children. So, you know, it sort of brings a different perspective.
How old are the nieces, is it?
Yes, they are 7 and 8, I think.
Wow.
I believe that's correct. The oldest is about to turn 9.
Pipsqueaks.
9, 10, 10. I always get confused. I always have to do the maths, but that's not unusual. I often have to do that to figure out my own age. So, but for me, it's easy because I was born in 1959. So I know that the ones digit of my age is always going to be one higher than the ones digit of the year. So
mine is easier because I was born in 60.
Oh, well, then. But you still have the same problem I do. You've got to work out what decade you're in.
Decades. Fortunately, I only have to do that every 10 years.
I'm just convinced that somebody made an arithmetic mistake somewhere. They must have. They added 20 years easily. Well, then I was switched at birth. I was meant to go to a very wealthy family, of course.
Of course.
Oh, well. I just thought it was... I don't know. I won't go there. Well, coming up, of course, now is this march. I was going to call it March in Washington, but they're not calling it the National Equality March. And there's been a lot of... what do you want to call it? Hype about that here and there, and I'm still have no idea whether or not it's actually going to change anything, but a lot of the speculation has been about whether or not President Obama himself will address the rally. Do you think it really matters if he does?
I'm not convinced that it matters, but I think it would be really nice if he did. I mean, the one thing that I would say about what I've seen from Obama so far is at least he talks about us, which is at least one full stride better than any president we've had prior. So, you know, any progress, in my opinion, is progress.
Yes.
I wish it was faster? Yes. But I'll take progress.
Well, I suspect there's probably nobody who doesn't wish it wasn't faster. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
Here's my perspective, and I've talked about this in various places, including the late Archer group shows. I think that a lot of our frustration has to do with the fact that we had 8 long years of moving backwards, and being frustrated at every turn by a hostile administration and a hostile Congress. And it's natural, I think, once that is finally gone, to feel like, right, now we can just bust ahead. But it's not realistic. Right. That's not the way Washington works.
And the sad part is, quite honestly, we had 8 years of what we thought would be progress right before that and had a couple of serious backfires in that 8-year period.
Yeah.
With defense of marriage and don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were huge disappointments.
Yeah, and that was one of my concerns about this march in Washington, because they did the same thing in 92. Well, it was actually 93, but they were saying, you know, let's have a march in Washington. We've got a sympathetic president, more or less sympathetic Congress, let's go there and push and get what we want. And they did, and within a few months, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was in place, and within a few short years, Defense of Marriage was in place. So things were arguably right. worse than they had been before. And I don't know, I didn't want to see that repeated, although I have since come to think that that's unlikely. I don't think things are going to be any worse because of a march in Washington. I'm just not sure that it's going to necessarily make things right. any better.
Yeah,
well, these are perhaps breadcrumbs, but appearing on the White House lawn for Easter, I mean, that was a huge stride. Yes. Again, that's just never been allowed to happen. In fact, we've been pushed away in years prior.
Yeah.
So, again, it sort of sounds almost, you know, like I'm delighted that we're getting anything. I'm not satisfied that we're getting enough, but I'm happy for every little step in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think acknowledging that a good thing has happened doesn't mean that we don't still expect promises to be
more.
Kept and so on. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, it's just recently been announced that the president plans on appointing or nominating an openly gay lawyer to be the next ambassador to New Zealand and Samoa.
I saw that.
I heard about it yesterday, and today I stopped by Joe My God, and he has a post on it. And most of the commentators were saying things like, well, that's not good enough. And do you think this is going to be enough? And carrying on, I'm thinking, don't you realize there has never been an openly gay ambassador? Bill Clinton appointed, I've forgotten his first name, his last name was Hormel, ambassador to Liechtenstein or somewhere. But he was never confirmed by the Senate because he was gay. The Republicans held it up. And so there's never been an openly gay ambassador. And very likely this nomination will sail through the Senate. And, of course, New Zealand doesn't make any difference to New Zealand about if
right.
it's a gay ambassador or not. So, I mean, this will be history-making when we actually do have a serving gay ambassador. But one of the other things I have to say that personally annoyed me, this is a little bit off topic, but the attitude of some of the people in the commenters... some of the commenters were sort of like, well, it doesn't matter because it's not a real country they're sending it to. Nobody actually said that, but that was what they were implying.
Yeah, well, that was sort of the difference, I guess. Huh?
Yeah. I thought, how rude.
How very...
Don't you realize we were nearly washed away twice in 2 weeks?
Oh, wow. But those tiny little things all add up.
That's
my opinion. They're all bricks building, you know, the solid foundation.
Yeah. So.
Every little bit helps.
Oh, it does. And it is interesting, too, the way so much is still going on out in the States. I think it will ultimately trickle up to Washington. But I remember way back when I was a baby activist, and we used to look to Wisconsin as an example of what to emulate because it was the first state in the union to pass a gay rights law, statewide gay rights law. And although Illinois was the first state to decriminalize, actually, I think it was the second state to decriminalize sodomy. Connecticut was the other one, but I can't remember which one was first. At any rate, the point is that we weren't, in those days, we weren't looking to national groups or national movements to bring change. We were looking to bring change to our own state capitals and our own town halls. And I still think that that's where most of the work needs to be done, because that's where people live. They don't live in Washington, D.C. They live
exactly.
in whatever states. And there are limitations to what ENDA will accomplish once it's enacted. And there are limitations to most of the things that we want, apart from Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because obviously that's a federal-only issue. But, yeah... Still, having said all that, I would like to see Congress and the president do more.
For sure.
But anyway. So I gather neither of you are going to the National Equality March.
A little far away.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah. That's Columbus Day weekend, isn't it?
Yes. Monday is Columbus Day, I believe.
We always used to think of that as one of those pseudo holidays because we never got it off work.
Yeah, I think you have to be a federal or state employee to get to get Columbus Day off.
Yeah.
Or lately, Illinois. A lot of Illinois schools get off for that one.
Oh, do they?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think the schools got more holidays than us public. I mean, business employees got. We only got the real big ones, you know, like big Labor seven. Day and 4th of July, Thanksgiving Day and the day after, and Christmas Day, and that was it, I think. Pretty much, I think it was only 5 days a year.
Yeah.
Didn't get President's Day, didn't get Martin Luther King Day, didn't get Columbus Day, didn't get Veterans Day. I can't remember any of the others anymore, but... But Illinois school children also get, or at least Chicago, get Casimir Pulaski Day off, too.
I think in places where there's a high population of Italian-Americans, Columbus Day is celebrated more.
Well, that's one thing that's different between the U.S. and New Zealand, because the public holidays for pretty much everyone. And if you're rostered to work that day, and you have to work that day, then you get paid a special rate, which is, I think, the minimum of time and a half, and you get another day off as well.
Right. So basically, well, I'm all for more holidays.
Can never have too many. Well, those are my topics.
Well, tell us more about the earthquake and the tsunami warning that you had.
Well,
plural now.
Plural
I guess.
Now, yeah. That was actually kind of, I guess it was scary. The first one, the one that ultimately had the tidal waves, I keep calling it that, the tsunamis, that hit Samoa, that one started out like all the others where we think, oh yeah, so there's another earthquake in the Pacific, big deal, they happen all the time. But it got more and more scary as time went on because we just didn't know what was happening. And it began to seem like, oh, this could be a very big deal. And of course it was for Samoa and Tonga and so on. But it ended up being nothing for us. And then, basically a week later, to have another earthquake, another strong earthquake, that put up tsunami warnings, that began to become a bit of a worry. But if you look at the satellite, or the topographic, or whatever you call it, map of the ocean floor, say, of this region, you see that the earthquakes are following this arc along the plate that New Zealand is sitting on. And that whole line points through Papua New Guinea and Irian Jaya into Indonesia and ultimately to where the other earthquakes have been happening in the Indian Ocean side. So, you know, all of these things are connected, which makes me wonder if this region isn't headed for a massive earthquake, or maybe not. Maybe it's just a release of stress or something, like the Earth is masturbating. I don't know. So, I don't know.
Releasing a little tension.
Exactly. It's I hadn't really, when the first one happened, I was glad that it wasn't worse than it was, but I was thinking, okay. But then when the one happened basically a week later, I was like, oh, this is getting to be a bit more serious now. So I don't know. So keep watching for that. Any earthquakes along that arc from Samoa through Fiji is near there. Vanuatu, of course, all of that area into Papua New Guinea and on. If there continue to be earthquakes along there, I'd be a little bit worried anyway.
So are people in New Zealand and surrounding countries doing like they would do in the States and talking about the apocalypse in 2012?
No.
Perhaps that's just the Puritan-based countries.
Well, I think it's a lot of that's got to do with that New Zealanders in general aren't very religious. In a traditional sense. So, I mean, they don't look for the signs of the end times around every corner. But when there were the reports of the potential tsunamis, what far too many people did is they went down to the beaches to have a look. And I'm thinking, that's the worst possible place you can be. Right.
Yeah.
In some areas, the police did shoo them away, but I couldn't believe it. I guess stupid goes everywhere.
Yeah. It's like here when people say there's going to be a tornado, everybody goes outside and looks.
Yeah.
Or an eclipse.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's look.
People want to go stare at it. Yeah.
Oh, my eyes.
They think if they wear sunglasses, they can look at the eclipse.
Exactly. Yeah. As long as you've got your Polaroids, you're all
good. Yeah, exactly. I remember this is when I was still in Chicago, and there was a partial eclipse, and people actually thought that if they just took exposed film, then they could look at the sun. I thought, oh, no. No accounting for stupid.
That's for sure.
But, of course, New Zealand is in a region that is geologically active. I mean, New Zealand itself is often called the Shaky Isles. So they they always try to remind people to be prepared for a natural disaster. And the rule of thumb is you have to be able to look after yourself for 3 days. You have to have enough food and water to last for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Before you can expect help to reach you. In case of a major cataclysm, obviously, if it's something minor, it won't take that long. And most people...
Any place mountainous would fall under that category.
Well, potentially, yeah. Or actually even anywhere that's near a floodplain, too, because floods can also cut you off from help and supplies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, we've got earthquakes and we've got volcanoes and, of course, flooding. There's also the risk of tsunamis and risk of cyclone. So, I mean, there's all these potential dangers, and that's why they keep trying to tell people, you know, make sure you're ready to look after yourself. And I think most people do, or at least partly. But there's plenty of people who, well, like anywhere else, I suppose, they sort of just say, no, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to worry about it.
It's not going to happen to me.
Exactly. And those are the people who go down to the beach to look at a tsunami.
Right. Well, I could... imitate Big Fatty for y'all. Today was especially bad.
I haven't listened.
We need to say something so we can be on the beginning of his next show.
I think you just did.
We love you, Big Fatty. Or Grand Fatty.
My Grand Fatty.
I should learn to imitate him, but that would mean listening to endless hours of Big Fatty, and I think that's too much to ask of anyone.
Or even just listening to hear yourself at the beginning of the show. That wouldn't be too much of a burden.
Well, we've certainly given him plenty of material to work with. Let's just see if he uses any of this. Are you brave enough, Big Fatty? Are you?
There were a few times during when I was on Archer's show that he would come off, and every single time I went, I wonder if this is going to end up on his show. It never did. There was one time I was a laugh in the background. That was it.
That's okay. He was a interviewer in the background in Forrest Gump, so.
Yes, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it is weird seeing somebody like that in a totally different context, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
I think the hairdo was the best part of all. In that.
Yeah. And the glasses.
Oh, yeah.
I just think of Big Fatty as always having the flat top.
I know. And much more sensible glasses. But, of course, they didn't have sensible glasses in that era, so.
Oh. I'm afraid I could testify.
It was nice to see Grand Fatty with a shirt on.
And pants, we presume.
I was going to say, and long pants.
Oh, well.
We're going to get it now.
We can only hope.
Yes.
Jeez, we've given Big Fatty so much material. If he doesn't use some of this, I will be just so sad, so sad.
Be very disappointed.
So I wonder if Archer's coming back now.
Yeah,
he's been doing these little brief
little
things.
Snippets.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day. I thought, well, you know, there's no reason why he couldn't just do a weekly group chat.
Well, speaking of Archer and his little shows, did you get your iPod Nano? Didn't you order one?
Me?
Or yeah, Steven? I thought I saw you say that you were going to order one.
Oh, I want one, but I haven't done it yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No. I just thought it would be much more convenient to be able to carry that around than either my digital camera or my iPod for just... Not my iPod, my Adderall recorder for just little, you know, quick things.
Right.
The sound quality was okay enough, and so was the video quality, just for, you know, nothing dramatic, but for what for those purposes, I thought it was fine.
Right.
Yeah. During Annie Vera's Monday show, I was thinking that she could have used one of those. So she could have filmed a little thing with Gooch.
Yeah.
While they were at the Whalebone Auditorium.
Yeah.
Oh, just those two words together make me laugh. Whalebone. Oh, well. You'll have to cut that out, or that'll be on the beginning of the show.
Well, look at it this way. Now Big Fatty isn't going to have to go trolling through the podcasting archives to use old episodes of people's shows. He's got plenty on this one.
He's got enough fresh meat for the next week or two.
Yeah.
This episode will probably just be Big Fatty's Got Material. Well, I had originally planned on talking about some of these things a couple weeks ago, and some of the things were a bit more current, which is one of the reasons why I'm not fully prepared for that this week. I don't know. I've been busy. This is actually the busiest work week of the month for me. This is the first day that I can actually stop and breathe. I've been working late every night this week, and so I haven't had much time for much of anything, really.
Well, we're definitely in huge busy season where I work, but that lasts all fall.
Yes, and I just got distracted a minute.
So did I.
And probably by the same thing. What was I going to say? No, I've forgotten already.
About your busy season.
Oh, yeah, and so I obviously wasn't able to record a normal Amarin's podcast earlier this week. But I did listen to a few while I was working. Sometimes I find it hard to listen to podcasts when I'm working because I get distracted by either the work or the podcast. So it doesn't work too well. So I often just listen to music. But one of the ones I listened to was Keith Olbermann's special comment on yesterday's show. Did either of you see it or hear it?
I started watching it earlier today. I didn't finish it all. Had to eat dinner.
I haven't seen it.
It's bloody amazing.
Yeah, agreed.
There were so many times when he was talking and I was going, yeah, yeah!
Pumping your fist in the air.
I just did, oddly enough.
So give us a synopsis.
Well, it's a bit hard to do that, partly because he breaks it into sections. But I don't think I'm giving too much away since Rachel Maddow talked about it too. One of his main ideas to try to push things forward was to have massive free public health clinics in the state capitals of the Blue Dog Democrats who are holding up the public option in the Senate. And part of the idea is to sort of shame them into doing the right thing. When, you know, the sight of thousands of people showing up to get the medical care that they can't afford any other way might just be enough to push these Blue Dogs into doing the right thing. The thing that their voters want them to do. But even if it doesn't, it's still doing the right thing because it's delivering health care to the people who need it. So it's a win-win situation. The worst case scenario, it won't affect the vote at all, but these people will still get the health care they need.
Some health care.
Yeah.
Right.
So I thought that was a great idea.
Like flu shots or dental checkups or other basic types of preventive things?
Yeah. It's basic checkup sort of thing. You know, people who maybe they're not quite sick enough yet to go to the emergency room, but they're not quite right, they would be able to go and get checked out for free.
Right.
I thought it was a really good idea. And then on Rachel Maddow, they were also talking about this move to, this is for the Senate, obviously, to remove the committee chairmanships from any Democrat who doesn't vote to end the Republican filibuster.
I definitely agree with.
I completely agree with that. There should be a consequence for betraying the party, I think.
Agreed.
I know if you take these two moves together, and the fact that President Obama's approval ratings are going up again, the fact that we're beginning to take the debate away from the right, it seems to me that things might be starting to move in the right direction finally. At least I hope so.
we might have actually a little bit of glacial melting.
Exactly. Yeah, but I don't know. It's just I have to admit that there was a time not that long ago where I was really pretty much despairing that there might be any sort of decent health care that might come out of this whole debate. But I am a bit more optimistic now than I was even a week ago. Say, well, maybe 2 weeks ago.
I would just have to say, just like we had mentioned earlier, that any progress, in my opinion, must be counted as progress.
Yeah.
And I don't hold hope out that we're going to get the full answer. But boy, I sure hope we get a good, solid step in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, in the chat room, Brother Sinatus just said it may have been a good thing to let the right have August. And it's funny he should say that, because I was thinking that just yesterday, that, you know, people were saying before, when the town hall things are running amok and there are all these AstroTurf groups and running around and stuff, why aren't the Democrats responding hard, or why isn't the president doing anything? Well, I'm beginning to think that it may have been part of a larger strategy, you know, thinking the end game, thinking, let them blow their wad now, so to speak, and basically throw everything they've got at the healthcare debate now, and then we'll just sit back, bide our time, know that hardly anybody pays any attention to anything in August, wait till the summer is over, and then when we get down to business, then we're going to push forward with what we want to do, because the right will have already exhausted itself. Every claim that they make has already been disproven, has been shown to either be a gross distortion or an outright lie, and their credibility is shot. So now, if they come back and try to oppose it, they've got nothing to stand on. They've shot themselves in the foot. So it could have been a very clever strategy in the end, or a happy accident.
Enough rope to hang themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Although, I suppose we won't know that for a while yet. We'll have to wait and see what we ultimately end up with. But it's completely certain now, I'd say, that the House will pass healthcare reform with the public option. And it could very well be that that's how we'll get it, that the Senate won't have the public option, the House will, and the conference committee will end up putting the public option in, and that's how it'll get through. But we'll see. There are so many things going on that are probably topics in themselves, really. But one of the reasons why I originally wanted to talk about family was that I don't want to necessarily make all the group shows about politics as such. You know, and I thought, well, we could talk more about family in general, but it's almost hard to talk about anything like that without having at least some sort of political dimension to it.
Yeah.
So instead, why don't we talk about Levi Johnson posing for Playgirl?
I'm excited. In more ways than one.
Yes. Do either of you read Joe My God?
I do occasionally. I haven't for a couple of weeks, but well,
if somebody links me to it, I will. But
Well, he posted about Levi, and I just thought the thing he said at the end was absolutely classic. He said, "Sarah Palin has declined to comment on the news that the penis that was once inside her daughter will soon be seen by the world." Well, that's putting it plain and bluntly.
Hip hip hooray. Hooray for sodomy.
And apparently Tim Cromwell in the chat room says that Levi Johnson is apparently in serious gym training for the photo shoot. Yes, well, I can tell you, if I was in his position, I certainly would be doing the same thing.
I'd be doing the same thing.
But if I were in his position, I would have far less need to than I actually do. But.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I were in his position, I wouldn't have a baby on the way.
Or true.
Already produced, either.
True. Yeah, I generally don't go for the celebrity gossip and celebrity talk unless it's about cute guys, and then it's okay.
I was going to say, that's really juicy.
I do have my standards, after all. So have either of you seen Zombieland?
I did. Loved it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I was tweeting that because of all the people talking about it on Twitter, I had dreams about zombies. Actually, I've had another dream since. The first dream I had, I don't actually know what it was, but what I remember about it was that I was annoyed by the zombies because I had to keep decapitating them. And it was annoying. It wasn't scary. It wasn't hard. It was just annoying. But in the second dream I had about zombies, it was a bit more ominous because they were more like a dangerous threat kind of thing. But again, I only remember snippets, fortunately. But I blame Twitter, which is probably
all evil.
Well, Twitter's probably peopled by zombies in many cases, especially if you read some of the tweets. But they're entertaining. Right. And speaking of Twitter, the other day, in the past few days, Stephen Fry's posted a link to something and ended up crashing the site that he linked to. And so I thought about it. I thought, well, you know, there's all these people who talk about how terrorists are going to bring about the destruction of the internet in some sort of plot. And I thought, no, all they have to do is get Stephen Fry to post a link to something.
Get people tweeting about it.
It's just amazing. I mean, he's got, I've forgotten how many hundreds of thousands or millions of followers he's got. But Stephen Fry is also the only celebrity who follows me back.
Wow.
He has 798,112 followers, and he's following 54,497. I would guess that he's probably got a management thing so he doesn't actually have to read the tweets.
Yeah, I was going to say, they must be filtered for him.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really all I had for today.
Well, sorry we weren't more help.
No, you were fine. I just could have been a bit better prepared. I should mention for anybody who is listening over the live stream that if you are a fan of Two Political Podcasts, that is no longer available through the Amarin's feed. You'll have to go to twopolitical.com, the number twopolitical.com, to download the latest episode. And the last one was, I don't remember the date, it's the beginning of October anyway. And we're recording again next week, so the first part of next week. So there will be a new episode next week. And so that's coming up, and I will have another Amarin's, a normal studio Amarin's podcast early next week at some stage. And I expect to be back again on Thursday, North American time, and Friday, New Zealand time, for another live episode. And I'll be better prepared for next week, because I'll also have a chance to have some thought about some topics that I'll post like I was going to. I wasn't sure if that was a good idea, and I said that before I started, if it was a good idea to post the topics ahead of time. Well, Chris, you two are always here anyway, but but do you think that's a useful thing, or...?
A little bit. It gives you a little time to come up with some points, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be too far in advance. A day or two at the most.
Yeah, that's originally what I was planning. Okay, well, I'll go back to doing that next week. Obviously, I didn't do that this week. But I'll go back to posting sort of general topics. But, of course, it's not chiseled in stone, so it's not like they all have to be addressed or anything. But I think it does give people sort of an idea of, you know, what to think about and maybe, as Stephen says, come up with some points and things. That's always good.
And the more participation, too, the more the conversation will wander.
So. That's true. That's true. And that's the thing. When you do have, and we've all been on Archer group shows, when you've got lots of people around, like five or six or whatever, it very often will go off into really unexpected direction because, you know, all these different people and different perspectives and whatnot, it can get really intense sometimes. Especially when somebody screams at somebody.
We haven't heard that in a good long
while. I know. We could pretend to be angry at each other. No, I don't think that would work.
I don't think anyone would believe us.
No. We could be mad at Big Fatty. No, that wouldn't work either. Or we could just blame Big Fatty because everything's Big Fatty's fault.
Big Fatty deserves a big fat spanking.
Unless he likes it, and then we'll stop. It's only appropriate to wrap out this episode with more material for Big Fatty. But I think I'm going to wrap it up this week. And as I said, there will be a Studio Amarin's podcast the first part of next week, as well as a Two Political at twopolitical.com. and a live show later in the week as well. Back to normal next week, I think. But thank you for joining me, gentlemen. And Larry Dean, you've got a blog, don't you?
Well, I do have my own blog, larrydean.blogspot.com, which I haven't written on for about a month. So I was going to give you another plug tonight.
Okay.
So one of my favorite reads is durbanbud.com.
I haven't heard of that one.
He's, in my opinion, one of the funniest bloggers from D.C.
Okay.
Very funny.
I will check that out and look at putting a link in the show notes if I find it.
actually, I will post a link to you in the chat so that you can see it.
Oh, good idea. And while Larry's doing that, is there anything you'd like to plug, Stephen?
Pundin Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a lolcats kind of website where but it's mostly political stuff. Like, where is it? They have a picture of a bunch of people with a sign saying, "Who are the czars?" or "The commie czars?" And then there's commentary on it that says, "The czars weren't commies. They had a revolution about that." Or, "Barack Obama is a half-breed Muslim." Who would have thought the most powerful man in the world was made of fabric? So I highly recommend that. It's punditkitchen.com.
I will put a link to that in the show notes as well. Well, thank you for joining me today, gentlemen. And thank you to those of you who are listening over the live stream, and also those of you who joined us in the chat room today. We had, of course, Lurdy and Steven and myself, but also Brother Sinatus and Tim Carmel and whoever guest 2606 is. Thank you all for joining us. And next week we'll be back for more fun and frivolity. Well, thanks everybody. Talk to you next week.
Hi, my name's Arthur.
And my name's Jason.
And we're the hosts of Too Political, a podcast in which two old friends talk about politics, the news, and whatever else we think of. You know, we've been friends for a long time.
Yes, a very long time.
We've always talked about news and current events.
We've been going on like this for years. Now you can listen in.
You can find us on iTunes or go to our website, twopolitical.com. That's the number twopolitical.com. What's that name again?
Too Political. Too Political.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Ammons Podcast at ammonspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at ammonspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.